Better. Better. That's better. That's worse. That's better. I'm not sure. You went to the eye doctor. The eye doctor had you sit down in front of an expensive looking device. I think it's called a gizmo. He had you rest your chin and look at letters at a distance as he slid different lenses into the gizmo. And you had to tell him whether the letters looked better or looked worse. Maybe he sent you home afterwards with a prescription, and maybe afterwards you bought yourself a new pair of eyeglasses or a new set of contact lenses. And before you left, he said, I want to see you in about a year. It's important that you have your vision checked regularly. So how's your spiritual vision? It's important that you and I have that checked regularly too. It's probably important too that we confess that the spiritual vision is not often what it really needs to be. Sometimes our selfishness blurs our view of God and what He would have us be doing and believing. Our wretched human nature clouds our view of one another, especially those who are near to us. Sometimes we lose focus. And rather than seeing the cross of our Savior's empty tomb, we see too many of our difficulties and we fret about them. So this morning, you and I get to read and hear about a man of vision, a genuine spiritual vision. We get to hear it and read about the man Stephen. And in reading his account, I'm convinced we end up asking the Lord in prayer. We say, "Dear God, Give me eyesight like Stephen's. Give me eyes that see my ascended Lord Jesus, especially in my distress, and especially in my dying." Read the book of Acts and you find out that Stephen was one of the seven. The growing church in Jerusalem was very busily taking care of its own members. They were teaching one another, they were praying for one another. They were also providing food for one another, especially for those who were poor, meeting one another's earthly needs. And when the work of doing that became too much for Peter and John and the other apostles to take care of, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch, and Stephen were selected to carry on that work themselves. They're sometimes called the seven deacons of the Jerusalem church. And Stephen was outstanding among them. He's called a man who was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. He's also called a man full of God's grace and power. The Jerusalem church chose him for leadership. The enemies of the Jerusalem church, and there were many of them, the enemies of the church chose Stephen to bring him down. First, they argued theology with him, trying to prove his teachings wrong, but Stephen was full of wisdom in the scriptures, and they didn't gain any ground with him. Then they produce liars. "We have heard this man speak blasphemy against God and against Moses," he said. Might as well accuse Stephen of being an axe murderer. In the Jewish community of Jerusalem, to speak insults against holy God, against Moses, and as mediator of God's holy law, that was a capital offense. That was punishable by death. They brought Stephen before the Sanhedrin, the very same ruling body that had convicted Christ of blasphemy, now had one of the leading Christians in their sights. More lies, more accusations. Finally, they gave Stephen a chance to speak in his own defense. what he did was truly impressive, truly a work of God. From memory, Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin, and he went back to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. And first he told them the story of Moses. Then he told, I got that wrong, first he told the story about Abraham. And then he told the story of Isaac, and he told the account of Jacob. And then he talked about Joseph. And then he talked about Moses. But he wasn't just rattling off Bible names or Bible facts. Stephen was showing that he saw the Lord Jesus in those accounts. He saw the Lord from Abraham onward, making for himself a people to be his very own. And he saw the Lord Jesus responding to their many rebellions with grace and with compassion. Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin and went back to the writings of Amos and Isaiah, but he wasn't just spouting Bible passages. He saw the Lord Jesus in the writings of the prophets. He saw how Jesus was that righteous one that God would send. He saw that Jesus himself would send the Holy Spirit so that people would be rescued by the Spirit from a fake religion, from hypocrisy, and truly worship the one true Savior God. In the critical moment of his life, when he was facing enemies that he had never faced before, in his distress, Stephen saw the Lord in the Holy Scriptures. And with that 20/20 spiritual vision, he had great courage and great comfort and great conviction to speak the truth. You're doing your best. You're trying to be honest, honorable, and others don't much appreciate it. You're trying to serve the Lord, but it seems that there are those around you who oppose you and who even threaten your service to the Lord. That's when you want to have eyes like Stephen's and see the Lord in the Holy Scriptures. Recognize that the Holy Lord, both before he became flesh and after, always had enemies around him. And yet when they insulted him, he did not insult them back. When they mocked him, he did not counter that. Instead, he was very patient with his enemies. Instead, he looked to call them to repent and to the grace of God. When you're in that kind of distress, pray for eyes like Stephen and see the Lord Jesus in the Holy Scriptures. Perhaps you're doing your very best as a servant of the church. You recognize that being a member of a Christian congregation means to serve. But not everybody notices. Not everybody thanks you for the time that you put in. Those that do notice sometimes don't really like the way you do it. In your distress, do what Stephen did. Look to the Holy Scriptures and see the Lord Jesus. Jesus said that he did not come for recognition. He didn't come for people to thank him. He came not to be served, but to serve. And to give up his life as a ransom for many. And when he gave up his life as a ransom, he set you free so that you can serve him without people thanking you. So that you can serve without people noticing. So you can serve him simply as he served God to the glory of God the Father. Perhaps you've done your worst. Perhaps you were not honorable, honest. Perhaps you didn't serve the Lord. Perhaps you sinned. In your distress, Do what Stephen did and look to see the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures. Recognize that this Jesus the Scriptures say went to the cross to suffer on your behalf and to take away the guilt of all your sins. Recognize that this Jesus left behind an empty tomb as proof that nothing will separate you from the love of God. Recognize that He's at the right hand of the Father right now, and that for all of your sins, for all of your guilt, He always wins the discussion that your sins will be forgiven. Whatever your distress, look to the Lord as Stephen did, look to the Scriptures as he did, and see your Lord Jesus there. Stephen, the book tells us, was one of the seven. He also was the first. You remember that, don't you? St. Stephen, as he's sometimes called, was the first Christian martyr, the first follower of Jesus Christ to die for confessing his faith. What happened was, as Stephen drew his remarks before the Sanhedrin to a close, he was compelled to speak to God's enemies about their crimes against God. Christians love compelled to do that so that they might repent and turn away from their sin and death. So he said, "Men, you're just like your fathers who persecuted the prophets and killed them." He said, "Men, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit." He said, "Men, you betrayed and murdered the righteous Messiah." Stephen did that out of concern for his enemies, but they were furious. We're told that they gnashed their teeth at him. They were made like rabid dogs. They lost all sense of decency. They covered their ears so they wouldn't have to hear what Stephen was saying. And then yelling at the top of their lungs, they rushed him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Did you look at the cover of the service folder? How did they do that for a moment? In the background of the scene, angry men scowling with hatred. One of them, I think, is this one. Right in the middle, a young man named Saul or Paul. In the foreground, men raising up rocks, they're about to commit murder. A sketch to keep away from the small children and away from the new church members. Hardly. You and I also look at, in the foreground, a man on his knees. The artist has portrayed Stephen and showing in his way how Stephen, in his dying, was given a miraculous vision. We're told he looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. We're told he said out loud how he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So what does that mean? Several minutes ago, you and I confessed the biblical faith that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Scripture teaches us that He's seated on His judgment seat to make set decisions, and also that He's seated on His throne to rule everything for the good of His whole church and all of its members. Jesus standing at the right hand of God. When you're dying someday, could you also not see that? The Lord standing ready to help you at your life's perhaps most difficult moment. The Lord Jesus standing as your great high priest. To point to the sacrifice that He made once for all, and to plead for your innocence. Jesus standing to welcome your spirit. Jesus standing to hear your final prayers. The standing Lord Jesus, whom you and I see with eyes of faith, Stephen actually saw Him with his physical eyes. And then he prayed the prayers that Jesus prayed when Jesus was dying. He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. The forgiven, forgive. You forgive me, those that have done you terrible harm. The forgiven, forgive. You do that while you're living. You do that when you're dying. Lord Jesus, Stephen prayed, receive my spirit. With eyes of faith, when you're dying, you can pray that prayer too. Because Scripture teaches that the instant you die, whether you suffer a painful death like Stephen's or you pass in your sleep in the middle of the night, Scripture says the instant you die, whether it's a sudden death like his or something that takes weeks or months for which you and your family have opportunity to prepare, Scripture says the instant you die, your body falls asleep, as he is dead. The Lord Jesus to wake it up at the last day to wake you up, and your soul, your spirit, the real you, is instantly taken into your Lord's care. That could be your prayer, right? Lord, receive my spirit. That's your prayer because that's the Christian faith. My faith, your faith while we're living, and also when we're dying. And we can pray about that. We'll do that. We'll pray, Lord, give me 20/20 spiritual vision like Stephen's. In my distress and in my dying, let me see the Lord Jesus in the Holy Scriptures. Let me see him clearly with eyes.